Hey everyone, before you listen, I want to let you know all that on Friday, July 24th, I'm hosting the first ever 2-minute drill pitch competition. Everybody gets 2 minutes to make their pitch, and I'll give you 3 minutes of feedback. That's right, first place is going to win one-on-one coaching with me, second place is going to win a group coaching membership, and third place is going to win a content package from me. Visit dmeltzer.com/pitch for more information to apply and compete. Hey everyone, it's Monday. That means we're back on the road to revenue and happiness. Today's episode is absolutely one of the most essential things you can do in business. Networking. Your network is your net worth. And we're going to talk about how you need to prepare for networking. And the most important thing is, are you capturing what you've accomplished? You got to join me every Friday for free. That's right, free Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. You can always text me at 949-298-2905. Email me at david@dmeltzer.com. Register for free, dmeltzer.com/training. I look forward to seeing you every Friday, or catch the replay every Monday.
This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook.
Welcome to the Road to Revenue and Happiness, and we are ready to go with networking. Welcome. I'm going to start with the biggest misconception about networking. And it's that networking happens at the time when we're with people. It actually happens before then. And the biggest mistake that people make about networking is they aren't prepared. They haven't paid attention or given intention into what they want from who. And so 80%, in my opinion, of networking is preparation, is being more interested than interesting. Knowing, number one, what you want, and then two, who are the best people or the spheres of influence to help you, utilizing, of course, our ask and attract strategy. So what does that mean to prepare? Number one, we want to prepare by finding out who has what we want. That's the first step to reverse engineering great networking, is who has what we want. Because once we know who has what we want and we can get to that person, we can either, number one, ask them if they can give us what we want, or two, they can teach us how or help us get what we want. So most people skip that entire step, which reduces their statistical success exponentially. So the first step of networking is, one, know what you want, and two, find out who has it. Now, once you do that, now we put our intention into finding those people. We find those people directly or indirectly. Those are the two different ways that we can do that. We find them via in person, on the phone, via email, or media. Radio, print, TV, social media are all ways that we find the people who have what we want. And now the next step in preparation, after you know what you want and who has it, is, what are the questions that will enable me to lead them to helping me? Either helping me get what I want or teach me how to get what I want. These are the only two options of how networking can be utilized in building this value that we so desperately want to provide and also receive. And so the next step is to determine, okay, these are the people who I need to talk to. Where are they? Who is connected to them? What spheres of influence are around them? And how can I stimulate interest for them to help me, or to find somebody to help me? This strategic methodology will help you every single day that you prepare or intend to find those people in person, on the phone, via email, and social media. Now, the first thing that happens is kind of like if you start thinking about red cars and you're saying, I want a red car, I want to find people with a red car. All of a sudden, you will see so many red cars. That exact instance of awareness is how networking works as well. I want to find somebody who can help me with blank, funding my company. I want to help someone that can blank scale my company. I want to help someone that can find me an executive assistant, and so on and so on. They will appear all over the place if you put your attention and intention and prepare yourself to find what you want from who you want it. And all these different opportunities from events and podcasts and media, whatever it is, they will be around you. Now, the next step in preparation is, what do I do when I find them? What do I do when I find the person that has what I want, or the influencer that has what I want, the sponsor or power sponsor that has what I want? Well, we need to know the techniques in order to, number one, stimulate interest, two, transition interest, and three, share that vision to allow them to happen. And the first step is to check yourself. There is an energetic acceptance that occurs that most people are unaware of. I use it, for example, on the phone. Before I make a phone call, I check my energy and tell myself, this is going to be effortless. I will receive no resistance. I'm going to get everything at the right way at the perfect time. And invariably, that energy allows less resistance and effortless responses. And all people actually pick up when I do that. And the same thing will occur in person, on email, and even social media. I'll give you a classic example of how we create blockages, voids, and shortages energetically with our beliefs, what we focus in on. And a lot of times when networking, we focus in on what we don't want. We're worried about things that we shouldn't be, that we don't want, that keep appearing in the course of trying to build whatever it is or look for whatever it is we're trying to look for. And so you actually can shift your energy, and it works both personally and professionally. I tell a story about, I went to a family function and I walked in, I wasn't feeling that effortless peace, that great energy that I'm bringing. I want to light up a room with not only my energy, but my value. And I walked into a family function, and my nephew, who usually adores me and gets so excited to see me, looks right through me as if I'm not even there. And I see my mom, and she barely notices me. And I immediately say, hold on a second, I'm not prepared. I'm not prepared to network within the context of my own family function. So I take a step outside. I shift my energy by breathing and focusing in on, putting attention to and intention to what I want out of this function. And when I walk back in, immediately my nephew lights back up, runs and gives me a big hug. My mom flips around, so excited. It was all energetic. Have you ever walked into a function or been on a phone and just not felt connected? Not felt that you were attracting what you wanted? In fact, you were repelling everything as if you had some sort of shield or kryptonite around you that nobody wanted to talk to you, help you, do business with you, anything. That is all energy. And you have to become aware of having that effortless, resistant-free energy that allows you to have higher statistical success in the networking that you have. You need to be prepared. You need to know what you want, who has it, where are those people at, and what energy am I going to carry. Now, the next step, after you understand and become aware of your own energy, of that effortlessness and resistant-free connectivity, is that we actually have to be prepared. And I always say, be prepared with, one, comments and questions. Comments and questions allow you to quickly get, one, emotional connection, right? People bound emotion for logical reasons. And two, credibility. Those are the 1-2 punch in networking, that if we can be very good at connecting emotionally and explaining our credibility or articulating credibility and value, you will be hyper successful in networking and building your network and creating people, a whole network of them that want to help you. And we'll continually ask people, hey, do you know anyone that can help Dave? Hey, do you know anyone that can help you? Can you help you? How can I help you? How can I be of service? As you're asking the same thing. And so in order to do that, you have to be prepared with different arsenal of comments. So I have a different arsenal of comments that I'll talk about in person. You know, I know that, not to typify, but a lot of women, especially my own family, the women in my family, they love purses and shoes. And so one of the arsenal of comments that I will use is, I'll tell someone, I love your shoes. And I will create an emotional connection that will allow me to then be prepared with a follow-up question. Where did you get it? Oh, you're from here? And continue to angle my questions so I can get to a closed end of a question. Do you know anyone that can help me with this? Right? That's my objective, the what. I want to angle my questions so I can get to, do you know anyone? And how do I do that? I usually angle the questions to how I can provide service or value. I learn and be more interested than interesting and find out, oh, would it help you if I got you a gardener? Would it help you if I introduced you to this person? Would it help you if I gave you this? Would it help you if I did this for you? And then continue to utilize open-ended questions to learn. I think the most valuable thing I learned in law school was the triad of networking. The triad of networking is, number one, open-ended questions to learn. Two, closed-ended questions to use what you've learned in order to lead somebody to what value you have or what value you need. And then summarize. That is the triad. Open-ended questions, closed-ended questions, and summarization of quantifiable value. Not subjective value. We're not going to hear the Barney song today. I love you. You love me. Nobody's going to make any money. Oh, you heard it. All right. Anyway, listen to me. That triad of open-ended questions comes with being prepared. And it starts with just having those instant transition questions that as you make a comment, you know, I have an arsenal of comments for people who wear baseball caps. Right, I love if you have any baseball cap on, I'll immediately be joking to connect emotionally. Someone has a Dodger hat on, I always say, hey, did you get that on sale? You can always make any other comments as well. Hey, where did you get it? Oh, are you from there? Oh, what do you like about it? What don't you like it? Open-ended, closed-ended to summary, leading to how you can be of service or value, which also will lead to how they can help you get what? That's right, what? What you want, because you came prepared. You came prepared with the quantitative value of what you want. You came prepared energetically to be effort and resistant free. You came prepared to emotionally connect through an arsenal of comments that are prepared and practiced. And you came prepared knowing that the structure in which you're going to provide value or service to other people is simply by asking open-ended questions to learn. Utilizing what you learn to lead them with closed-ended questions in order to facilitate what you've learned aligned with what you can do for them or aligned with what they can do for you, that what, and most importantly, being able to articulate the quantifiable value in a summary. Okay? Now, all of this, once again, you can get my free book. It's in there. You can get the guides for free, the exercises for free. All you have to do, text me, 949-298-2905, david@dmeltzer.com. These will also be utilized. I have a pitch competition next Friday. Please apply at these as well. Little commercial break. So now we're prepared. What do we do after the preparation? Well, now we have to make sure that we intertwine the credibility aligned with the questions and information that we received by responding, not bragging, separating inferior or superior energy, but articulating credibility of what? Of lessons learned. Right? Nobody wants to know, you know, that you've won the Ellis Island Medal of Honor, either Variety Magazine, Sports Humanitarian of the Year. But what they do want to know is how the hell you lost $100 million. They want to know what lessons that you've learned when things are tough. They want to learn the lessons you've learned about networking and telephone and the what and the why and the how and the where and the preparedness and the energy shifting. They want to know the lessons and those stories. They don't want to know anything about separation. Any judgments or conditions that have been laid upon that are arbitrary and capricious to nothing of value. So make sure that you have substantive value, substantive information, and illuminate your lessons and your stories that align with what they're doing. You will instantly have credibility and people will want to know somebody that can help you with what? That's right, with what? With what you came prepared with. And then the next step that gets lost a lot of the time is to practice and be prepared with a system of capture. How many times have you networked and asked yourself, oh, I wish I would have got that phone number. Oh, I wish I would have got the email. Oh, what did I do with the phone number? Oh, which one of these guys is it? Which one of these women is it? Oh, I have practiced and continue to practice the systematic collection or capture of data. And I include it in the preparation when I go network in person, on the phone, via email and media, radio, print, TV, and social media. 80% of my time is spent in this preparation of all the things that we have discussed, but nothing's more important than the capture. I have wasted more time, emotion, energy, resources, and straight out money not capturing what was available to me. I have flown across the world and done interviews and not asked for the cell phone of the person that I was interviewing with. I did even worse. I got the cell phone and somehow lost the number. I was on the phone with my mentor yesterday, Blaine Bartlett, who's a world business consultant and friends as well with Joe Dispenza. And Joe had asked me when I met him with the Tom Bilyeu about getting on the podcast and doing an interview and doing some content together. He's obviously someone that is a mentor to me, someone I study, and he's just an incredible genius. And it was so funny because Blaine, who's over 70, I'm over 50, we're supposed to be seasoned business consultants in the world, top business executives and executive coaches. We were both searching for the phone number and we somehow could not find it. That's a systematic problem. That's a huge value in networking. What good is all that you teach and all that you do if you don't have a system, number one, to capture it, and then two, to access it? You may have been able to capture it, but if you don't have a system that allows you to access it because you're in a hurry, and how many times do we do this? We inputted the name and misspelled it, so when we search it, it's not coming up. And then months later, years later, oh my gosh, here it is. You know, I forgot the E. These are all really, really important things in preparation. Networking may be your net worth, but is nothing without preparation. Knowing the what, the who, the why, the where, how you can emotionally and energetically be aligned, making sure you're prepared with open and closed-ended questions, and how do we summarize that? But most importantly, how do we capture that data and access it? Now, the other spin on the data that's so important is how accessible are you? So many times, right? We want to make sure that we're accessible, making sure that we have different opportunities to share our data. So you can create, just like we find information utilizing spheres of influence. A lot of times when I would network as a sports agent, I would never, ever go talk to the athlete. I talked to his coach. I talked to his aunts, his uncles, his cousins, his best friend. I talked to all of them and make myself accessible so that the only conversations that are always around were why, you know, are you going to sign with Lee Steinberg? Oh, hasn't talked to me yet. Oh, have you met Dave Meltzer? No, I haven't met Dave Meltzer. Oh, right. All the people around him are talking about us. And then eventually he reaches out to us, or we're more statistically successful when we network in with a whole group of spheres of influence. But we have to figure out a strategy to be accessible. So instead of just giving your business card or, you know, giving something, put a note in there. You know, hey, the guy with the purple shirt, or Akron, Ohio, or some other indicator. Add those things in. You can utilize all of these different methodologies to do so. And if you create a strategy every single day, give it a minimum amount of time, 7 days a week. What do I mean? I'm taking a trip this weekend with my family. I know what hotel I'm going to, what city I'm going to, what activities I'm going to be participating. I spent time in my periods of research to figure out in my database, who is it that I want to meet, see, talk to, et cetera, or let know that I'm going to be at this place, and maybe invite them to come join me or see if I can come join them. We waste so much in not doing the research of all the different opportunities that we do personally and professionally to network. Once I know who's in that sphere of influence, in that sphere of region, in that location, I can come up with a strategy to either talk to them or talk to someone that's around them, invite them somewhere, provide value, utilize the methodology of energy and credibility and emotional attachment and open and closing. And it also, guess what? It gives me an opportunity to connect even if they're not available. It raises their awareness of what I'm doing, and I might transfer instead of meeting in person. They might have been stimulated in interest to talk to me on the phone. So now they're like, oh, why don't you give me a call when you're at the airport, when you're waiting to get on the plane? All of these subtleties of success, all of these statistical advantages are lost on 99% of the people. You need to be more interested than interesting. We have to think and utilize our research time every day. As you know, I have a minimum time that I spend doing research every day. In other words, studying my calendar, paying attention to and intention to the coincidences I want. In that study of my calendar, I notate where I'm going to be, who might be there, who's associated with that, what spheres of influences are created, what types of credibility and emotional attachment can I have, what questions would I have in person, on the phone, via email, and media. All of these things generate more and more networking, more and more value. We create a net of value. Right? I'm not a big fan of work, right? I believe in activity I get paid for, activity I don't get paid for. Work to me means resistance. But a network is a net in which we're going to catch all the other stuff that people get resistance for. We're going to create an effortless net. One in which captures the value of what? That's right, what? What you want, because you're prepared. You're thinking about what do I want and who has it? And can I ask them and how can I ask them, or someone that knows them, or somebody of influence to them, or someone in a sphere around them, associated with them, how can I ask them for what it is I want, or can you help me get what it is I want? Very simple. Most people look upon other people when they're networking as gatekeepers. And I'm here to tell you, we have to shift that projection. We have to shift that perception. You can't go through life thinking that everyone's trying to stop you from getting what you want, right? That's what a gatekeeper is. Stop, you're not allowed in. No, starting today, you're going to look upon everyone that you meet in person, on the phone, via email, and media, radio, print, and TV, social media, you're going to look upon them as sponsors. Your whole energy is going to shift. Your whole strategy is going to shift. When you realize that I know what I want, I know who has it, and everyone I meet may know somebody else or the person that I'm looking for that has what I want, so that I can ask, can you give me what I want or teach me how to get it or help me get it? That means that we now look upon everyone as a sponsor, someone that knows somebody that can help us, or a power sponsor. Somebody that not only knows somebody that can help us, but may be able to help us directly themselves. When you look for what you want in people, you will get what you want from people. When you pay attention to and give intention to what you want and what you want from people and where you want it from, that's what you're going to get, statistically proven. But it's not going to happen if you don't study it, if you aren't prepared, if you haven't already seen it happen, if you haven't been more interested than interesting and taken the time. Look, I can't tell you how many millions of dollars have been wasted just in my companies alone from all the different huge events, right? Super Bowl, Pro Bowl, Masters, Kentucky Derby, Breeders' Cup, ESPYs, Emmys, Oscars, Grammys, CES, Comdex, huge, you know, fashion shows, Magic, all the millions and millions of people that we've had at Rise, Collision, all the great, great places in the world. Out of all the employees I have, it's a remarkable thing, and all the investment that it takes to get them there and to get them registered and the hotel rooms and the food and whatever. It's amazing if I ask them 4 weeks out, so who do you want to meet? What do you need? Who's going to be there? What party are you going to go to? Who's going to be at that party? What charitable event are you going to go to? Who's going to be there? Who do you want to meet? Who do they know? What do they know? How are you going to effectuate the emotional connection and the credibility? What questions are you going to ask? What arsenal of connectivity do you have, considering this is, you know, South by Southwest? People are interested in music. Are you going to be able to ask them or tell them about a song? This is a sporting event. Are you going to be able to discuss and be prepared to discuss the teams that are playing, the individuals that are there, the critical business issues and political issues and sports issues that are present at the time? All of these things take preparation. But if you do it, you're in the 1% of the 1%. You're the one that continually builds a network, capturing that data, giving access to you from that data and accessing that data and continually improving the systems throughout the entire process to build your net activity you get paid for. Net activity you don't get paid for. In other words, your network. We can all do this, and it's a practice. The more that you do it, the easier it is and the bigger the network it becomes. Because the bigger your network, now you're able to provide what? More value to other people. The more that you practice this, the more that you progress in this, the more that you utilize it, the more confident you'll be, the energy will be shift, the better capabilities you have of emotionally connecting, telling stories and teaching lessons and all the things that I talked about, the more practice you will be about those comments, as well as the open and close-ended and summary that I taught you to do. All of these continually aggregate, just like the lily pond, right? Double, 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 double. You may not at first be able to see your network growing, but in year 29, it will double in size. It may seem only halfway there, but by year 30, boom, you're all the way there. Year 31, your network's two lifetimes worth. And guess what? That is a valuable thing. The greatest capital I have in my life is my relationship capital, because it allows me to provide value, services, or solutions to other people. Hey, Dave, do you know where I can get my hair cut? Actually, yes, I do. Dave, you know where I can get a good deal on this? Absolutely, I can do that. Hey, Dave, where's the best place to go? Right here. And I know someone. They're going to take good care of you. I'm Mr. Shin today from Nobu. One of my favorite restaurants, right? The first thing I said to him is, hey, text me at 949-298-2905, your text number. Because I know that I can provide value to him by bringing extraordinary people into his restaurants, building that brand and promoting it, etc. But I also know that he'll be able to help me with what I want. Right? I want to be able to go to some of the finest restaurants in the world, even if they're overbooked or there's no reservations, and bring important, influential spheres of influence people to increase my network by creating an emotional experience. And I know that places like Nobu and Mastro's create that emotional connection through providing the highest level of experiences that there is. And that is all just networking. Right? Networking is text me. You want to be my pitch competition, 949-298-2905. You want my free book, my free guides, exercises on networking, david@dmeltzer.com. Just either one, reach out. Let's build our network together. Half of what my private coaching groups are about are the private networking groups in there of all of us creating value and building a web of activity we get paid for, and a web of happiness of activity we don't get paid for. So in conclusion, networking is about preparation. It's about that research time every single day to what? That's right, what? Know your what. Find who has your what. Create a strategy to ask, do you know anybody that knows how they could help me get what, from whom, from where? Surround yourself with it. Put your attention and intention into it. Shift your energy so that people light up and they look at you and say, oh, there's somebody that I can talk to. Smile, eye contact, but be prepared with an arsenal of comments to make that emotional connection as well as the credibility. And then practice the triad. Open-ended questions to gather data and learn. Close-ended questions to angle or lead that person to how you can provide service or value, or how they can provide service or value to you. And then become an expert at summarizing the quantitative value to add to the credibility and the stimuli in order to network with you and help people help other people. It will grow and aggregate upon itself. Remember, the most essential thing, you can do all the work, all the research, all the questions, all the energy shifts, all the resistance-free and effortless, but if you don't have a system to collect the data and become accessible to others, it's worthless. Your network is worthless. You have created nothing but waste. So make sure you spend the time to have a system that captures the information and allows you to access it when you need it or search for it according to the situations that were there. Utilizing, most importantly, the spheres of influence. Spheres of influence. There are no gatekeepers in your network, only sponsors and power sponsors, people that know someone that can help you and people that can help you themselves and know somebody that can help you. This is how we're going to network our way to happiness, to value. We are going to enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of this potential, knowing our what and finding the who to either give it to us or teach us how to get it. Remember, I'm one of those people. You could text me 949-298-2905. Email me directly, david@dmeltzer.com. I will give you the book on this. I will give you the guides on this. Please, please reach out. They're all free. All right, let's have some fun now. We're going to take some Q&A. With your coaching and mentorship program, you say you guarantee sales. No, I guarantee profit. Will those sales come from what we are working on from our own business that you help with? Yes, whatever you're working on, right? The only way I can work with people is to guarantee value. So I lock no one into anything, and I allow you to create quantitative value doing what you're doing by me opening up the spheres of influence I have and giving you the dummy tax that I've paid and allowing you to learn the situation, knowledge, and experience and illumination of the lessons that I have. And it's all guaranteed. I'll mitigate all risk because you're not locked into anything, and I guarantee that value, that profit. So if you're in sales, I promise you, you'll make more sales than I cost. It's that simple. So please reach out if you're interested. What is your take on the best startup book? Well, for me, the best startup book's The Power of Intention. Think and Grow Rich is another great startup book connected to goodness. My book actually allows you to take nothingness, turn it into a possibility, turn it into a probability, and make it a reality. So it takes you through an entire startup process. Many, many books, but I would start with Think and Grow Rich or Connected to Goodness or Power of Intention with Wayne Dyer. Hi, James. Thank you for that note. Any practices for overcoming social anxiety? You nailed it. How many of you have anxiety? If you have anxiety within yourself, it's a social anxiety. Anxiety is interference and corrosion to the most powerful source of energy, light, love, and lessons that you can. But it's also the corrosion and interference, anxiety between you and everything that's relative to you. So that's social. That becomes a social anxiety. And the way that we do it is you say, how do I practice? So what do we do to practice? For me, it's being a ferocious Buddha. Number one piece of practice, practice identifying when you're anxious. Two, practice asking yourself, why am I anxious? Be more interested than interesting. Start pursuing and processing, why am I anxious? Three, be ferocious about stopping and breathing. Breathing, remember, when we take a breath in, it raises our heartbeat, but when we break a breath out, it slows the heartbeat. So take four breaths in, six breaths out, deep. Get to a place of center. Find a new baseline, a new frequency, a new place to plateau and grow. Continue to practice anxiety by being aware of what it is. How do you stop it? Why do you have it? And then breathe and put yourself into the right trajectory so you don't accelerate in the wrong way and get the wrong things. What is your favorite question to be asked when networking? You know, I don't have a favorite question to be asked. I just like to be asked because anyone that comes up to me and asks me a question verifies that I've shifted my energy and I'm on a place of reception or receivability. I'm open and available to other people. No matter what question they ask, that's an opportunity for me to what? Emotionally connect with them, gain my credibility so I can ask how I can be of service or value using open and closed-ended in summary, as well as because I'll be prepared for not only to ask people questions, but when they ask me, I'll be prepared. Do you know anybody that can help me with getting more people to come to my Friday training, get more people to come to my pitch competition next Friday? Next Friday's pitch competition is off the hook. I'm going to do prizes, free one-on-one coaching, free private group coaching, free books. There'll be prizes for everyone. Please apply. I want to see the best businesses out there, best ideas out there. Let me teach you and empower you how to raise money, build a business, close a business, whatever it may be. Any question is my favorite question when somebody's asking me because it gives me an opportunity to network. What's the most valuable networking connections you've ever made? The most valuable networking connections I've made are the people who have the greatest networks. The people that are credible and emotionally connected to their own network. So, albeit I know owners of big teams, organizations, and leagues, multi-billionaires, they aren't necessarily the best people for my network because they're not as available as I need them to be. They're not open or may not have a huge network because they have fame, fortune, they've closed themselves off. But there's so many people in my network that have huge networks and the attitude that is incredible. John, one of my dear friends, he has to be one of the most abundant people with a huge network, always calling me, asking me, hey, how can I help? Who can I introduce you to, etc. Solar Steve, aloha, brother. I really, hold on 1 second. Sorry, someone. I really dug your podcast on electric people. I'd love to give you a solar proposal. Can I show you and save thousands? I already have solar. So here's a good example, right, of features and benefits, right? What Solar Steve should have done in the networking capacity is Solar Steve should have said, hey, you know, I'm in the solar business. Do you know one that could help me? I'm looking for people that want to save money on their electricity. Dave, do you know anyone that can help me? Right? There's a whole big paragraph here of features and benefits, and they don't apply to me because I have solar on all my homes in my office. But I have a huge network, and I'm on here. And Solar Steve could have done a lot better job in networking and asking open-ended questions like, hey, what are you doing today for electricity? And I would have said, I have solar. Oh, what do you like about it? What don't you like about it? Do you have any friends that maybe would like that about it? Right? This is what I'm talking about. Obsequious behavior is not successful behavior. Let's do it. Let's be more interested than interesting. Let's learn about people, see how we can provide value or service. And guess what, Steve? Can you help me? I'm looking for more people to come to my free training, get my free book, get my free exercise. Text me at 949-298-2905. Email me at david@dmeltzer.com. That's what I'm looking for. Can you help me? Do you know anybody that I can help to provide them more sales in solar? I work with so many different big companies and help them. I'd be happy to help you. Does that sound fair? Can you see any reason you won't want to do it? Can you see any reason you won't want to do it? I didn't think so. That's how it's done. How to handle the situation when you feel discontented from a group. We want to ask ourselves, why do we feel discontented from the group? We give meaning to everything that we see. And usually when we're discontented with an individual or a group, we have to use forgiveness as a mean to, we have to use forgiveness as the means to unwind that untruth. Right? It's just a perception. It's a feeling that we feel disconnected. I promise you, you have to have faith and patience in the fact that you are connected to, at all times, the most powerful source of energy, light, and love, and lessons, and everything else. Every single thing else. A tree does not have any branches. It's all connected. One branch would not go to war against another branch. No way. But yet, in our mind, we create resistance, void, shortages, and obstacles. You can't do it. If you feel disconnected, right? We have to learn and get rid of that interference, and forgiveness is the means in which we unwind that untruth. And so we have to start looking and forgiving and being vulnerable to create the invulnerability that we have to look and see, why is it I feel this way? Why is it, oh, they're mad at me, there's attacking thoughts, there's judgments, or no, I forgive them, I forgive them. I'm going to look for the superpowers in them, and that's what I'm going to find, and I'm invulnerable. Because I've forgiven myself for any inefficiencies, deficiencies, hypocrisies that may have occurred in our relationship. I have forgiven myself and therefore forgiven them. Forgiveness is the means to unwind those untruths, those judgments and conditions that we put onto others that make us feel disconnected. Can you give us an example of open and closed-ended questions? Thank you. An open-ended question is one that we learn. So an open-ended question is, tell me, what do you like about that? Blah, 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 blah. What else? Blah, 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 blah. Those are all open-ended questions. A closed-ended question is, considering that you like that, would you like a strawberry banana sundae in a plastic cup? That's a closed-ended question. The answer is yes or no. Now, tell me why you like the strawberry chocolate sundae in a plastic cup. That's an open-ended question. A summary would be, from what you told me, not what I'm telling you, right? We're empowering the person that we're connected and we're listening and learning and interested. From what you've told me, can you see any reason that you wouldn't want a strawberry chocolate sundae in a plastic cup? That's why summary is so important. What's holding me back, David, is that I believe I require to have so-and-so's blessing in my big C goal so that I can mention that in my approach to everyone that I get to involve and make my dream happen for the benefit of your foundation. D, also value running past you and benefiting from your wisdom. Thank you on exactly how you used from the information that inspired me. First of all, nobody can hold you back. You hold you back, right? The minute we know what we want, we have a possibility of it. When we use our values and become inspired, when we clear the connection between what we want and become inspired, not motivated, but converting that motivation that can be fear-based or limitation-based or judgment-based, condition, whatever it may be. But when we become inspired, our possibility becomes a mathematical advantage of a probability, and there's only one thing that stands in your way. Not Cynthia, not David, not you, not anything but you. You stand in your way. You need to be disciplined, strategic, and aware of what it is that's causing the interference and corrosion between the probability of what you want and the perspective or reality of it happening. Just you. And when you realize that, and you're gracious for it, meaning you're finding the love, the lessons, and the light in it, and you're forgiving, meaning you're using it as a means to unwind the untruths of the illusions of resistance that you're creating, and you're accountable for it, that you have attracted it into your life, and you are looking for the lessons, because you know pain is just an indicator, mental, physical, spiritual, emotional, financial, pain is just an indicator that you have something to learn and you are accountable, that I have attracted this into my life. What am I going to learn from it? And that inspiration will allow whatever it is to materialize from the attention and intention as a coincidence in your life. What's a power sponsor? Once again, it's not what I say, it's what you hear. This is a classic example of me feeling as if I have said six times, a sponsor is someone that knows someone that can do something for you. A power sponsor is somebody that not only can know someone to do something for you, but can do it themselves. Okay? Perfect. Thank you for asking that, because it is not what I say, it's what you hear. That's why we summarize. That's why it's not just open-ended questions. That's why it's not just closed-ended questions. That's why there's a summary involved. So tell me, from what you told me, Dave, a sponsor is someone that will help you or know someone that can help you, sorry. And a power sponsor is someone that can help you and know someone that can help you. Can I get the audio of this class after the time? Everybody, yes. Please text me at 949-298-2905 or email me at david@dmeltzer.com. My trainings are all replayed on the Playbook, my podcast. If you haven't downloaded it, do so. If not, you can catch it on YouTube, but I can send you the direct link, the replay link at david@dmeltzer.com or text me at 949-298-2905. Same place to get free books, free guides, free registration to the trainings, any information you need, especially to apply for the pitch competition, the 2-minute drill. You're gonna get 2 minutes to pitch me. You'll get 3 minutes of feedback. The winners will get free one-on-one coaching, private group coaching, a bunch of books and other stuff. Please apply. How do I apply for the pitch competition? Oh man, I'm on the same wavelength. Go ahead, david@dmeltzer.com. Email me, text me 949-298-2905. 2 minute drill, you'll enjoy it. 2 minutes of pitch, 3 minutes of me and ideas. Just spotted someone here with whom I'd value connecting via browser, Universal Music Group. What do you thunk? Who would have a thunk? There you go, networking. Who here, by the way, who here came prepared? Who here came prepared with questions and comments to put into my chat or the questions here? Who came here prepared looking to network, being able to see who's here and how they can help them? Who here came here with their what? Who? I hope you. And if not, from now on, you will, because we all know how networking works now. If you're not getting a response from the potential sponsor, now, first of all, there are no potential sponsors. There's sponsors and power sponsors. If you say potential sponsor, that means someone's a gatekeeper. They are a sponsor. If you're not getting a response from the potential sponsor, how many times do you try and connect with them? Okay, so if you're not getting a response from a sponsor, someone that knows somebody that can help you, or a power sponsor, someone that can help you and know someone, that means that there's either bad time, you haven't articulated value, right? Because overall, if you have 100% credibility and value, there's no reason anybody wouldn't immediately respond. Time, value, or emotion. Unfortunately, right now, a lot of people close off emotionally, and that creates a difficult time and value situation because they prioritize this emotional closing. And so you have to allow it to happen. I use a 3-no rule. If I am pursuing a sponsor or a power sponsor in order to effectuate getting help, because I know what I want and who it's from, and I am following up, and it doesn't work out the first time, no matter what circumstance it is, that's not necessarily them telling me no. It could be them not answering. It could be me missing the call. It could be anything. 1 no, 2 no. On the third time that it doesn't work out in my favor, I either leave a message or tell them this is obviously not the right time, or I haven't articulated the value, or emotionally it's not a good time to connect. I have too many people to follow up with that do want to connect with me. When you're ready, please follow up. I'd love to help you, or I have a question to ask for help. Does that sound fair? 50% of the time the people will call you and do what you need done. The other 50% you'll never hear from again. Both are huge wins for you. Both are huge wins. What are some good ways to capture someone's interest via email? Same way that we capture in person on the phone via email, we want to first stimulate interest. Meaning 80% of all opportunities die because you try to sell, you try to trade, you try to negotiate, you try to dump features and benefits instead of knowing that whether it's in person, on the phone, via email, or media, radio, print, or TV, our first conversation is one of stimulating interest. In other words, to get them to email you back, to get them to call you back, to get them to ask you a question back, or give you a statement back, or answer you back. DM you back, LinkedIn you back, or whatever they call it on LinkedIn, comment on you back. You got to learn how to stimulate interest. Meaning, statistically, 80% or more of the people will never get back to you on all the different modes and mediums that I talk about. So get better at getting people to get you back. You could, even if you're not better at any of the other aspects, the minute you get 10% more people to get you back, you're 10% better. So let's learn how to do that. Understand what I'm talking about, the resistant energy, the emotional connection, the credibility, the articulation of value, reasons, impacts, and capabilities that are supported by features and benefits, not dumped features and benefits onto you. Hey, David, I hope you're well. Any new book suggestions? Gosh, Rob Angel's book is great. Talking about the aardvark and game changer, the founder of Pictionary. Evan Carmichael's book as well, Chester Helton's book. Those are all great books. But I got, you know, James Clear is still one of my favorites, Atomic Habits, The Alter Ego Effect by Todd Herman, and of course my books. If you haven't read them, I'll give them for you for free. So Connected to Goodness, Blaine Bartlett's book is another great one as well. Here we go. David, how can I find a job that is aligned with my values when I found my purpose, but I also want to expand and grow by learning? First of all, the only way that you find a job that's like that, that's aligned with your values and purpose and et cetera, is to angle towards it. So in order to angle towards it, what we have to do is continually focus in on developing our capabilities, developing our skills, our knowledge, which includes relationship capital, knowledge of other people in a bigger network, and growing our desire to must be what we can do, and using that desire, capabilities, and knowledge and skills to angle towards, as we're working and developing, what we want. And allowing ourselves to be hypocrite, to change our mind of what we want and angle in a different direction, because pain, mental, physical, spiritual, emotional, and financial pain will indicate that we may have to move like a turn signal in a different direction to find a better situation or a situation that's better that there's no way we would have the capacity to know. And that's how people end up in a purposeful, profitable, passionate position. All those P's, the alliteration almost got to me. I feel like Jim Quick here. Boom, boom, boom. What's the most important networking connection you have ever made? I had answered that to people with the biggest networks. How do you suggest networking remotely right now? Look, I'm always networking remotely. Only one of the ways to network is in person. I am always networking on the phone, toughness and telephone, on email. I still check my sent box every day to see how many emails have an ask in it of how you can be of service or value to them or how they can be of service or value, knowing that every email has a what in it. Here's how I can help. Free trainings, free guides. Text me at 949-298-2905, david@dmeltzer.com. Whatever it is, it has to be in there. I check also social media. All of those ways. So remotely, you do it the same way. Get more people to get you back. And then be prepared when they get you back. To what? Credibility, emotional attachment, quantify the reasons, impacts, and capability of your ask. Do you know anyone that can help me with what? Yes. Get it? What? Yes. You got to know your what. Most people get caught up in why. I use it as an excuse. Know your what. And you will get your what more rapidly and accurately than ever before. What is the best way to approach someone you would like to have as a mentor, but have never connected before? So if you haven't connected before, so here's a person that knows what they want. So they found somebody in a situation that has what they want. And they want to ask that person, can I have it? Or can you teach me how to have it? So now you got to be more interested than interesting and find out what interest or alignment you have with that person. Maybe a charity, maybe an organization, maybe a class, a school, a common political interest, an economic interest. Don't know. And if you can't find one of those, then you can find spheres of influence around him from his mother, his father, his aunts, his uncles, his cousins, his classmates. There has to be some, and we're so blessed to have something called this social media web of being able to find and research who has spheres of influence and connectivity with the people that have what? Yep, that's right. That have what you want. And so then you could start asking them, do you know anyone that could help me? I'm looking for what? And lo and behold, the people in the spheres of influence or the person that you've already done the research with, you've already done and connected the dots backwards, are going to say, oh my gosh, you're not going to believe this. But my Uncle Larry is the producer of the first Super Bowl, and I know that he'd be happy to help you. Would you want me to ask him for you? Oh my gosh, Uncle Larry produced the first Super Bowl? Yes! Surprise! Magic! Right? Do the research, do the work, be more interested than interesting. Don't just go directly to a person. If you can't find an aligned situation that's reasonable, then find a sphere of influence that'll allow you to make it their idea in order to effectuate that relationship and network through the same disposition of open-ended questions, closed-ended questions, and summary. Now, trusting the universe and having faith as well as patience, a lot of times those people just appear even without research once you start paying attention to and giving intention to the coincidences that you want. Those coincidences will happen. How would you keep track of people after the initial introduction to ensure sales are made? I spend a lot of money and time on CRMs, SFAs, FFAs, all types of different systems in order to effectuate how I can find people. I have duplicative processes and reminder processes in order to facilitate making sure that not only I'm capturing the information that I need to be accessible, but to access the people that I want and able to have a search mechanism to quickly find it, as well as have people that can validate and correct and check the information that I may have inputted in a quicker, efficient manner, which then means that they're most likely to have mistakes or errors that later down the line. So I have and do prioritize by importance different connectivity of people that I've met in order to make sure that if somebody is a top priority, someone I know that I will utilize as a big network for me, I will make sure that I have checks and balances to make sure that that person is put into multiple databases in the correct manner without any spelling errors or miss data that can help me later on not find them. And so creating those systems is essential. Why is networking so scary? I know it's stuck in ego, but what is the way to get out? So first of all, how can networking be scary? So what we want to look at is, what is it about networking that is scary? Is it scary because we have worthiness issues that we don't like to ask for help? Right? One of the key lessons that I've learned, people ask me all the time, what would be the biggest lesson you would tell your, you know, 22, 32, 42, 52 year old self? I'll tell you what it is. Radical humility. I'm scared to ask for help because it may mean that I don't know what I don't know. It may be the greatest illuminator and vulnerable thing that I can do is to tell someone that there is multi-billions of variabilities in the universe and it's an impossibility for me to know everything about everything, and that maybe I'm better off finding people directly that know what I want to know and ask them for what? Yep, you got it. Ask them for what? What you want. People that have already done it. It's the easiest way to get it. People that have it already, it's the easiest way to get it, is ask them for it or ask them to teach you how to get it. No doubt about it. Statistically, efficiently, effectively, it all falls into line. It's not networking that's scary. It's being humble that's scary. Knowing that you need help. Knowing that you may have somebody reject you because you can't articulate the credibility, the emotional connection, the reasons, impacts, and capabilities. You're afraid to be accountable that you may not be able to articulate or even know your what. That's right, your what. All right, what is the biggest challenge you've had with networking? That radical humility, taking the time and being consistent about being prepared. The most valuable mistakes that I've made all are on the capture side. I've probably wasted 80% of the opportunities that I've had because it took me all of these years to figure out a better system. And I'm still probably, you know, way far away from being as statistically successful as I could be or should be in capturing and accessing all the different people that I have access to and figuring out how they're aligned with what I need and being able to have a creative or an efficient system in order to access that. How to deal with anger issues. Once again, that's a ferocious Buddha issue. We need to stop, drop, and roll. If you're angry, number one, identify that you're angry. Two, ask yourself why you're angry. Then be ferocious about stopping, breathing, getting to center, finding that higher frequency, your better self, and then moving in the direction that you want to move in. Don't allow yourself to create resistance, void, shortages, obstacles, interference, and corrosion to what you want. All right, last question. Remember, everyone, pitch competition next Friday. Please join me. There's prizes, coaching, private coaching group, books, exercises, all of that we can get for free. 949-298-2905. David@dmeltzer.com. Reach out, get my free book, get the guide from today on networking. Have and review and do the exercises. Let's take on this last question as we get to it. How do you keep balance between networking and having connections and not using people? You will not use anyone if you provide more value than you're asking for. It's impossible. It's mathematically impossible. So you need to, in networking, live to the profitability standard of the 120 rule, where your goal is to provide over $100 worth of value for any $20 worth of value that you're asking for. As a goal or an objective, make sure that you're giving more value than you're receiving. Make sure that your open-ended questions are determinative and then led by the closed-ended questions of what service, value, or solution you can help them with. Creating a quantitative value, being able to articulate it in the summary. Can you see any reason why you won't want to move forward, considering what you've told me about this and the value that this would provide? Can you see any reason you won't want to help me? It's all about value. We are all connected. If your goal, objective, etc. Let me add one more thing and then I'm going to let you go. If you allow someone to help you, there is a quantitative value in it, because nothing will make them feel better than allowing them to do a good deed and feel good about themselves as a credible expert in order to give them you or help you get what you want that they have in an efficient way. All that dummy tax that they paid is going to make them feel good that it's actually good and doing some good. Anyway, I want to thank everyone. I will see you next Friday. Hey, podcast listeners, thank you for listening, as always, to today's episode. I know you've been enjoying the Road to Revenue episodes. They are downloading at record paces, and I am so grateful for you joining me, not only on the podcast, but live every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you email me at david@dmeltzer.com or text me at 949-298-2905. Thank you so much.